we're at least begin dealing with, we already alluded to the problem, is the fact that there seem to be two different drashos that inform us that ksamim are at the very least not, do not make her asur midoraisa. Number one is the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, dam velo kasem. And number two is the drasha of Shmuel, ad shetargish b'vsara. And a kasem has no hargasha. So, how do we understand that? The first drasha, the drasha of Akiva, seems to relate to the fact that there's a degree of uncertainty as to where this blood came from. For example, if it could have conceivably come from the wound, then she would be mutaris. And the second drasha, we've discussed at length, perhaps it's a Tanai, teaching me that you need a hargasha. So, if you assume that the drasha of Shmuel is a Tanai, as opposed to, let's say, the Rid, so then the two drashos are telling us two different things, but the question is, why do we need both of them? So one possibility is that one of them is an asmachta. There are some sources that assume Rabbi Akiva's drasha is an asmachta, meaning to say the real reason why a kasem is not asur midoraisa is because of Shmuel, because there's no hargasha. And like we saw, many Rishonim hold that's true, even if you know with 100% certainty where the dam came from. If there's no hargasha, she's not a sura. And Rabbi Akiva's drasha is an asmachta, but still, a kasem is a sura midrabanan. But if there is some type of tlia, then she's even mutares. And he quotes a drasha, which is really an asmachta, to tell me why that is. We also mentioned the Rashba's view that they're actually one single drasha. The Rashba and Tarsabais combines the two drashos into one. He basically makes Rabbi Akiva's drasha into Shmuel's drasha, and if that's the case, then there's no kasha at all. However, some achronim try to argue that you need two different drashos. And you need Rabbi Akiva's drasha, even on a d'oraisa level, even after you already have Shmuel's drasha. So why would that be? So one mahalich is that of the Chavostas. Chavostas and the Sidrei Torah have similar mahalchim to answer this question. Now we'll talk about the Chavostas. We'll talk about the Sidrei Torah a little later. Chavostas answers the following. This, by the way, is in Simen Kuf Tzadi Vav, Sif Katan Gimel, which is that it depends when, in Achanami, during when she's Mutaras, any dam without a Hargasha would, in fact, be nothing on a Deraisa level. And even if we know it's dam in a Makor, it would be nothing. And therefore, you don't need the Drash of Rebbe Akiva at all on a Deraisa level during the rest of the month. However, during Shiva Nikiyim, we know that the standards are different. For example, there's a requirement. We'll talk about whether it's deraisa or not, but let's assume for the moment it's midoraisa. So there's a requirement to do bedikos during the Shiva Nikiyim. Now, if that's true, well, what are you trying to find with bedikos? Right? Why would you need to do bedikos? Certainly midoraisa, after all. If there was no hargasha, she's okay. What are you looking for when you do a bedika during Shiva Nikiyim? The answer is that you're basically looking for dam below hargasha. That's what you're looking for, because she didn't have any hargasha. We don't generally find that we're choshesh for hargasha v'lava daita, especially if you don't see blood. You know, maybe if you saw blood, you could talk about whether we're choshesh for hargasha v'lava daita, but she didn't see any blood. So why are we telling her she needs to do bedika? She saw nothing. And still we say, look, well, what are you looking for? Must be you're looking for dam below hargasha. If you're looking for dam below hargasha, the takana, or certainly if you hold it's a din d'oraisa, then certainly that would imply, the Chavustah says, that there must be this din that during Shiva Nikiyim, even dam below hargasha is a problem. And that's what he says. Oh, during Shiva Nakiyam, Dam Bilo Argasha is a problem. And he says that is why there's a need for bedikos, and that is when we need the Drash of Rabbi Akiva. The Drash of Rabbi Akiva says that it still has to be Dam Vadai, Velo Dam Safek. So if there's a Taliya, she's Muteras. So therefore, the Drash of Rabbi Akiva says, let's say a woman sees a Kasem during her Shin Vakiyam, and there's a possibility it came from some other place, like, for example, she has some type of maka that could be open up. Even if now it's closed, but it could open up. So, since we don't know this blood is from her, then she's muteras. The drash of Shmuel doesn't apply. And were it not for the drash of Rabbi Akiva, we probably would have said, Sveika deraisa l'chomra, and she's a sura, because maybe this dam is from her, and da below hargasha is soser the shiv nekiyam. And that's why we need the drash of Rabbi Akiva. And we do, after all, find cases, situations, where there are things that are so ser shiva nekiyam that would not, under other circumstances, impart tuma, or at least make her asura. And that's because we need nekiyam. We need nekiyos. What does nekiyos mean? We have to where it doesn't actually say nekiyam in the Torah. So we'll have to talk about that more when we talk about shiva nekiyam. But nekiyam means it's absolutely naki. Naki from all blood and even dam below hargasha. And perhaps a quasi-parallel to this is the idea of poleta shechva zera. Poleta shechva zera doesn't count as a yom naki. Now, it's not actually soser, but at least it doesn't count. It's why? Because you need nekiyam. She says, likewise. There, it's not even any blood, right? She goes ahead and she's poleta shechva zera, let's say on day 2 of her Shiva Nekiyam. Right, she had Tashma Shemita, and then the next day she became Anida, and then the next day she was Poleta Shechva Zera. So, even though no blood left her Makor, zero, that doesn't count as a Yom Naki, because you need Nekiyah. So too, Shechva Zera won't count as Nekiyah, so too, Dam below Hargasha won't count. That's essentially the theory of the Chavos Das. Now, in the Makoros, I sent you a tshuva from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he critiques the Chavos Das. He asks a number of questions. We're not going to go through all his questions now. Some we could appreciate more. Some we'll appreciate more when we do Shiva Nekiyam. But what's worthwhile noting is he says that he shows that we couldn't possibly hold Paskin like this Chavos Das. Why? Among other things, because the Poskim all assume that all the kulos of Ksamim, more or less, do apply during the Shiva Nekiyam. We'll see. Certain tlios we might not make in the first 3 days, but that's dafka the first 3 days, and not the whole of Shiva Nekiyam. And other kulos of Ksamim all apply during Shiva Nekiyam. For example, if you find a kesem on Davar Sheino Mekabel Tuma, then it's not so say the Shiva Nekiyam. Or if it's Pachos Mikigris, or the like, now, or on Sivonim, right? Now, if the Chavos Das is right, none of that would make any sense. You can't be Mekel on Sivonim, or Enam Kabbal Tumah during Shiva Nekiyam, because it's a Din D'Oraisa. Dam, Bili Hargasha, is Soser, the Shiva Nekiyam. So, it is the fact that we, the Poskim, more or less, fully accept that we do apply the leniencies of Ksamim during the Shiva Nekiyam shows us that we don't accept the Chavos Das. The Chavos Das is wrong. And it's not really similar to Poleta Shechva Zera, because Poleta Shechva Zera isn't so Shiva Nekiyam, whereas the Chavos Das argued Dam Below Hargasha is. So you could have imagined a version of the Chavos Das saying, well, Dam Below Hargasha is not Naki, so it's like Shechva Zera. It doesn't count towards the Yamim Nekiyam, though it's not Soser, but that would be enough to require Bedikos, and that's why we would need the Drash of Rabbi Akiva. But there's also no basis for that in Shas, that there's this new halacha, this new standard during Shiva Nekiyam. So one way or the other, clearly we don't accept the answer of the Chavos Das, and if that's true, so we need to consider the other answers to this question.
Also have to assume
Yeah, but that's not a big deal. Most Rishonim probably assume that way. Though you're right, many Poskim assume we don't. We do Poskim like the Rambam. Possibly. Could be the Rambam also agrees by Nisar Karis, right? That's a discussion in the Rishonim. Yeah?
Related. According to the Chavis Das, he understood Rabbi Kiva's drasha that even though down below Hargasha is Daraisa, the Gzeras HaKasit is that...
It has to be Dam Vade. It's sort of like Mamzer Vade Vlo Mamzer Safek. In other words, it needs to be Vade Dam. So once there's a Taliya, she's Mutaris. Could even be that even if the more likely option seems that it's from her, the drasha is Matir, in which case, even if you held Safek Daraisa is only Midrabanan, but here where it's more likely to have come from her, could be that was the story in Rabbi Akiva's case. The reason why the Talmidim were so astounded is because it seemed like the more likely scenario was that it did come from her. But since there was a reasonable Taliyah, that was enough. We'll talk about what constitutes a Taliyah shortly. Yes?
Case in the Mishnah doesn't sound like it's talking about Zayin Nikiyim.
You have to make
Rabbi Akiva, it sounds like
yes. So it could be that he's making the Ukem. But you could also say that it's true on a Derabanan level even the entire month. In other words, Rabbi Chachamim or Gozer Ksamim, even not during Shiva Nikiyim. Ksamim are Asura Midorai Kesem without a Tliya, that is Asura Midoraisa and Shiva Nikiyim, and Asura Midorabanan the rest of the time, and Rabbi Akiva said she's okay. Lemaisa, it's Mutter. He quotes a drasha because you need that drasha during Shiva Nikiyim. If it wasn't during Shiva Nikiyim, so it would be on a Derabanan level. Again, it's on a Derabanan level, this is why she's Mutaris, not during Shiva Nikiyim. And on a Deraisa level, this is why it's not associated with Shiva Nikiyim.
I'm sure it was on this question, if you could answer similar to what Rabbi was pointing out, that the drasha is...
Which question?
Where someone's on saying, how could you have any Bikulos?
Yeah, there's no way to answer that question.
Why can't we just say that?
No. So Arbach is not arguing for many, asking for many Gemara. He's asking for the assumption of the poskim. The poskim all assume, and certainly we do, halacha lemaisa, we assume, we apply the kulos of Darshan Makabal Tuma and Sivonim and the like during Shiva Nikiyim.
That can't be from Rabbi.
No.
Why not?
Because there's no doubt where it came from. It landed on a Enam Darshan Makabal Tuma, right? But we know exactly where the blood came from. There's no Tliya.
That is a din of, that's what a kesem is. One of them,
no, there's no doubt. We know where this blood is from.
But that's a
din de Rabbanan. We'll talk about why Rebbe Nechemi is. But Rebbe Nechemi is saying that Takana de Rabbanan of Ksamim wasn't stated at the din of Makabal Tuma. That makes sense if Ksamim are de Rabbanan. Ksamim de Raisa, it doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Akiva, dam velo kesem means dam vadei velo dam safek. That's the drasha. So anytime there's a tliya, anytime this might have come from somewhere else, she's not. It's not so to the Shiva Nikiyim. But if we know it came from her makor, even though we know there was no hargasha, it is so to Shiva Nikiyim. So if that's true, it shouldn't matter whether it happened to land on cotton or plastic. Sanim kabel tuma. Sanim kabel tuma. Okay. Now, a very fundamental and basic question that relates to this whole siman, and it'll really bring many, many of the discussions throughout siman Kuf Tzadi together, is whether or not there were two gzeros of ksamim or one. What do I mean to say? One gzera was dam below hargasha, correct? She sees dam nida below hargasha, so we're going to assume, like Rov Rishonim, we already talked about how this is seemingly the way we paskin, that dam, even if it's dam minamakor bivadai, if it's below hargasha, she's not a sura midaraisa. So, but we know she is a sura midarabanan. So there was definitely a gzeira. The gzeira of ksamim is dam below hargasha. Now, we also know that when she sees a kesem, so there's dam, and there was certainly no hargasha. Plus, we don't know where this dam is from. We're not sure. She finds it on her skirt. And she has no tliya. What's the halacha? She's a surah. right? That's the basic halacha of our siman. Anytime the blood could have come from her, she's a sura unless there is a good tliya. So that case, we're not actually sure it came from her, but she's a sura. So what's the pshat in that iser? Is the pshat that there's just one gzeira? What's the one gzeira? Dam b'li agasha. And memela, once they said dam b'li agasha is a sura, and she sees dam on her skirt, and she has no tliya, we have no other reasonable option. B'shuk shel tabachim o'avra. So we'll assume it's from her, and she's a sura. Or, no, that doesn't make any sense, because lamais, it's a safek. It's true she found this blood on her skirt. And it's true she doesn't remember going into the shuk shel tabachim. But we still don't know really where this is coming from. It's a safek. And if there's only one takana, we would have said safek drabban and lakula. And it must be. There's actually two takanos. There's the takana of dam b'li hargasha, and there's also a second takana, which is any time you see dam, and there's no tliya, you also assume it's from her, and she's a sura. Now, where do you see this question come up? So before we see how the achronim discuss it, the lashon of the Rambam is already a strong clue. The Rambam writes in Isurei Bia Perk Tes Halacha Beis, Umedivrei Sofrim, Shekola Roa Kesem, Dam, Al Besara, or Al Begadeha, Afal Pisha or Gisha, Afal Pisha Badka Atma Velo Matza Dam, Hareze Temeya, Ukilu Matza Dam Lifnim Bivsara, Vituma Zu, Bisafik, Shema Kesem Ze, Midam Chederba. It sounds like from the Rambam that this is asura, even though we are uncertain, even though it's a safek, right? V'tumazu b'safek, and she's asura. Sounds like from the Rambam that a kesem is asur, even though it's b'torah safek. Now, does that mean that the Rambam holds that there's two takanos? And when we say two takanos, by the way, we don't necessarily mean historically. It could be that they made the same, they made both takanos at the same time and the like. But in lamdos, there's two takanos. So the Rambam clearly tells us that a kesem is a suffix, and still she's a sura. Does that mean that there are two takanos? So the truth is, from the Rambam, there's not a raya, because the Rambam held that there's a absolute assumption that any dam that's from her, that's found bifnim, is dam min ha-makor b'hargasha, right? That's what the Rambam said, that if you find dam bifnim, so it's cheskaso sheba b'hargasha. So from the Rambam, the truth of the matter is, you don't have a raya that it's two takanas, it could just be one takana, that since, but ledidan, probably, it is a raya. Meaning, say, if we were to accept this formulation that tumazu b'safik shema kesem ze midam acheder ba, so we would say there's two takanos, right? Takana number one, because why am I saying that? Because even if this dam is min acheder, what's the din? Is it asura midaraisa? No, because it was b'li argasha, right? So that's what I mean by two takanos. In other words, if we were to accept this formulation of tumazu b'safik shema kesem ze midam acheder ba, and you also assume, like we assume, that dam min acheder b'li argasha is not asur b'deraisa, so essentially we're saying two takanos. Number one is that dam b'li argasha is asura. Number two is that any time this kesem might be dam acheder, in other words, there's no tliya, so then it's asura. Now, the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam addresses this question. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't ask it the way I asked it. He asks it a little differently. He asks it the following. Why isn't every kesem a sveik sveika? Why? Safek if it's from her or not from her. V'imtim salomer, it's from her. Maybe it's from the cheder, and maybe it's dam and haliyah, and she's tahora. That's his question. Now, parenthetically, and we're not going to address this now, but you could have said that that's not a sfeik sfeika, that's a single suffeik, right? Is this dam and a makor or not? What difference does it make if it's min haliyah or from the shuk shel tabachim? L'maisa, we only have one question. Is this dam and a makor or is it not dam and a makor? The Kesef Mishnah, though, assumes that this would be a valid sfeik sfeika, and that is why he's troubled by the question. So he gives two answers. Yesh lomar, da'af al pichei nechmiru bo chachamim, mishom de'isr chamor. Answer number one is, yep, it is 100% a sfeik sfeika, but isr nida is an isr karis, it's an isr chamor, ramachmir for sfeik sfeikos. Now, it's interesting. Does he mean to say that we never say sfeik sfeika by nida? Sounds that way, though maybe he just means it here. Halach l'maisa, there are a number of places where we do accept a sfeik sfeika. For example, the Raman Simin Kuf Pei Zayin Sif Hei by Maka, where he's makel for a sfeik sfeika, or also in Simin Kuf Pei Zayin, where makel for Dam Machmas Tashmish because of a sfeik sfeika, to allow her to remarry, and things like that. So we, l'maisa, do accept sfeik sfeikos in Hilchos Nida. But l'maisa, but that's what the Kesef Mishnah's first answer is. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. In other words, maybe the Kesef Mishnah is not saying that they were misakein, that we never say sfeik sfeikas in Hilchos Nida because of Issur Kares. Yeah, it's true. Hichmir bo chachamim mishum d'Issur Chamor. But you could have understood that. Hichmir bo chachamim shelo lahakel by sfeik sfeika. Or you could understand it here. So if the Kesef Mishnah were to agree to those sfeik sfeikos that we say elsewhere, it would have to be the pshat is hechmir bo here, as opposed to hechmir bo in general. Because if you see this as an exception, see that's already, well, let's see second answer. So, the second answer, v'od yesh lomar, shemeachar she'en la davar lit, just to say, sorry, if he was saying the way you're saying it, it's sort of interesting, because then his question was, why were they misakin a kesem? It's a sfeik sfeika. But the way he's asking the question is, why is a kesem actually usser? It should be mutter al sfeik sfeika. So that would indicate that the answer is, we're machmir for sfeik sfeikas here. His question isn't...
I'm not explaining where the
takana comes from. Yeah, in a chanami. But if his question was, why were they misakin to be machmir here, it should be mutter because of sfeikas. That's already a different question. And then you could have answered, yeah, here they were machmir anyway because of this or chamor, right? So that's why you might have read his answer as saying, no, in Isser Nida, we're generally machmir for sfeik sfeik, in which case that would seem to imply that he wouldn't accept those sfeik sfeikos. Okay, but it's not 100% clear, but I do think it sounds that way. Okay, what's the second answer? V'od yesh lomar. Shemayachar she'en ladavar litlos bo, hichmiru bo chachamim, lomar dehave ki'ilu humigufa vadai. Ve'en kan ala safek achad. Ve'afshar shalazenis kavin rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam meant when he says v'tumazu b'safek. Meaning to say, this answer also seems to assume that it's a sfeik sfeika. Except they were machmir to treat it as one suffix. Hichmiru bo chachamim lomar dave ki'ilu hu migufa vadai. Meaning to say, this is a sfeik sfeika. Mikra did, in terms of klali sfeik sfeikos, we taka should have been makel here, except that the chachamim were machmir ki'ilu hu sfeik sfeika. Ki'ilu hu chad suffix. Why? Why? Because she doesn't have a taliyah. In other words, the other option, namely that this came from outside, it's not dam nida, it's dam from a chicken, right? That's not a particularly good option because she's not aware of any interactions with a chicken. Now, that's not to say that it's vadai migufa either. It is a safek, but it's not a good safek. So since this is a shvacha safek, they were machmir to treat it as one safek. And This, I think, is more along the lines of what Dani was saying for the first answer, which is they made a takana to treat this as chad safek, as opposed to the first answer where they said, no, this is a full-fledged fake sveika, still we're going to be machmir, where they were misake not to be mako. This is saying, so they're very similar answers, right? In both answers, he is not denying that it's a fake sveika. This is what will distinguish, for example, the Kesef Mishnah from the Taz, which we'll read in a minute. In both answers, he's not denying it's a fake sveika. First answer is, yeah, it's a fake sveika, but we were machmir because it's an Isar Kares. Second answer is, yeah, it's a fake sveika, but they were machmir because it's not a glot fake sveika. Because the tzad that it came, mealma is a shvach tzad, after all. She has no tliya. So they were machmir to treat it as chad safek. So if you had a full-fledged fake sveika in any other place in Hilchos Nida, of course you're going to be makel according to the second answer. It's over here where it's a shvachas fake sveika, they were machmir to treat it as chad safek. But that was the takana. That was the takana. Now, the Taz addresses this as well, and he says, Dekevan derov dam, shiyotze mehaisha, she'en lamaka, asim emekor, lo nechshav zel esafe klal. This is a similar to the Kesef Mishnah's second answer, but not the same answer. He's saying that this is not a safek. This does not qualify for dine sfeik sfeika. It's not that it's a shvacha sfeik sfeika and therefore they're a mesake and lachmir. This is not a sfeik sfeika. Why? Because what's the other tzad? That it came from somewhere else? Rov dam shiyote me'isha she'en lamaka asi mimakor. So we only have one safek. Not two sfeikos. Remember, what was the second? What were the two sfeikos? The two sfeikos of the Kesef Mishnah. Maybe it's me'alma. Maybe it's from her. That's a valid safek, right? But what was the second safek? Even if it's from her, who says it's from the makor? Maybe it's from the aliyah. Maybe it's from some other place in her body that would not make her anida. That is not a good safek, says the Taz. Why? Because rov dam that comes from her. If she doesn't have a maka, you're right. Women with makos are different. Then taka, even though we know it came from her, it might actually not be damida. But if she doesn't have a maka, and we have no reason to assume she has a maka, so then there's a rove that it came from the makor, and therefore this is not a bona fide sfeik sfeika. And he quotes Tosus and Ksubos. This is not the time to do it, but one of the most challenging aspects of the sugya sfeik sfeika is What is the din of rov? Right, we have some places where we make a sfeik sveika, even if you have a rov on one, because there's still a total rov. Like rov, mechza, zachar, mechza, nekeva, and miot, nefilim, and we do that. Maybe that's a different type of sfeik sveika, maybe that's just a rov. Then within the world of tosfos, you have sfeik gamurs, and you have rov gamurs, and you have certif rovs, and you have rov derabanans. And it's a big asek, including in Natosis and Ksubos. What's the pshat? But we're not going to get to that now. The point is, he's saying that this is a strong enough rove, namely rove da min ha'ishas min ha'makor, assuming she doesn't have a makkah, that this does not qualify as a sfeik sfeik. And the truth is, it does makes a lot of sense. This is a very stark rove, because Asa'u kevadei afilu lisrof, we already saw. Right? Okay. Now, you could question this rov. We'll talk about it. The Tosa Shlamim says it's not a great rov. Why? Because rov damim min ha-makor are behargasha. And therefore, since she didn't have a hargasha, that might counteract that rov. The Minchas Yaakov, Tershlam over here. So you could question that. In other words, when do we apply that rov, lis rov? That's in a case where she sees dam, she had a suffix argasha, like tashmish. Ah, so then we're going to say, well, al pi rov, the vast, vast, vast majority of the dam comes from her mekor, and will be sorry if it's a truma, and in it, depending on when it was discovered, bring her. She has to bring a karban and the like, right? But here it was without hargasha. The Taz isn't mesiachis to that, so the Taz says no. We have a very strong rove, and therefore it's not a sfeik sfeika. Now, why don't I? But there's still one suffix, right? Maybe it's me'alma. So why don't I say suffix drabban and lakula? Right? Me'alma. I no. Remember, he knocked out one of the suffix fakas, right? What were the two suffix fakas? Suffix one, maybe it was me'alma, maybe it was me'mana. Imtim suffix two. Imtim salomar that it's mimana, maybe it's mina makor, maybe it's mina aliyah. Good. So that second suffik we knocked out. So we are left with one suffik. What's the suffik? Suffik me'alma, suffik mimana. That's a bona fide suffik according to the Taz. Now, if it's mimana, what's the din? Is she a surah midrash or midrabanan? Midrabanan. There's no hargasha. Right? We're talking about a kesem. No hargasha. So why don't I say suffik drabanan lakam? Good. No sfeik seka. I have a more basic question. Taz doesn't ask this question. Much more basic question. Suffix drabanan lakam. So you have to answer. Exactly. You have to answer that tiknu ala suffix. Right? We might have other places. Maybe this is like the Ravid Shita by Bedikas Chametz and the like. Tiknu ala suffix. That's what the Taz is going to answer. The Taz is of the opinion that they were misaking some in ala suffix. In other words, in a chanami, there is a suffix, but that kufa is the takana. But if that's true, this is what I was saying, that this basically means that there's two takanos, right? Conceptually, two takanos. Again, historically, maybe one takana. But conceptually, there's two takanos. Takana number one is dam below argasha. Takana number two is dam safik me'alma, safik mimena, is a surah. Right? So, when you say they were misakin al safik, you're right. But that's essentially saying that there's two takanos. Now, the truth is that there's a lot of evidence to this idea that ksamim were niskenu ala safek. For example, the Gemara in Yud Dalet Amud Aleph writes that according to Rebbe Chiya, isha shematza dam be'ed she'eno baduk. So the Gemara over there says she's tamei mishum kesem. What does that mean? Rashi explains kelomar tuma safek. In other words, you see that the word kesem means safek. That's what the word means. Kesem isn't just dam below argasha, it's suffix. So there, we're talking actually about an eid bedika. It's an eid she'eino baduk, but it's an eid bedika. So it's not what we normally call a kesem. But when the Gemara uses the lashon of tamei mishum kesem, what that means is tuma suffix. And if you look at the Ritva there, he says it even more powerfully. Tamei mishum kesem, perish lav davka kesem, like we said, it was on an eid bedika. Ela din kesem kamar kilomar shu tuma safek. Right, that's what the din kesem is. Din kesem is tuma safek. Yeah.
The meaning that all assumes one way of learning hargasha.
I'm assuming now. Correct. That's what we started off with. We're going to assume now, like Tosfos and Niramban and Rov Rishonim, that dam min hamakor b'li hargasha is not a surah midaraisa. Like we said, if you don't assume that way, then the kasha doesn't start. Correct.
You know that the Taz agrees?
Oh, we're going to get there. Yeah, we're going to talk about within the Taz in a moment. Now, we find this in some other places. I'll just mention other places where you see this idea. The Rashba Nun Vav Amud Beis, who applies the term ksamim, even for Isurim De'oraisa, he writes, V'li nira, de ksamim de'hacha, ksamim hanim tzayim below argasha ka'amar. Sorry, lav ksamim han tzayim below argasha ka'amar, el ksamim abayim bihargasha. Inami kismei bedika, dekulu ksamim mikru, v'hanu de'oraisa ninu. In other words, sometimes the term kesem could apply to de'oraisa, because the term kesem means suffik. It doesn't mean dam below argasha. The word kesem itself, right, the word kesem indicates suffik. And there are some ksamim without hargasha, and those are vade de rabbanan, and then there are some ksamim with hargasha, and those are safik de raisas or the like.
Why is the word kesem something I don't understand?
I'm just showing you from Shas.
Doesn't it mean that it's stain? I don't understand what
the literal translation of kesem means a stain. That's correct. But what you see from a number of Rishonim in a number of places is that the word kesem implies suffix. And
because we don't know where it came from? Is that
Well, that's what the words mean. Yeah. It's mora ala safek. The word kesem...
The Lashon Mushal.
Yeah.
No, Shmuel's right. It means stain.
We're not literally...
The usage is...
Right.
In Rabbanan down to the Anakasha. Lashon Mushal is that one that's true.
And there's when the Gemara refers, wishes to use to, like you said, a Lashon Mushal, wants to refer to something that's a safek, it uses the word kesem.
We know that type of
stuff right, so that makes sense if you assume, like you said before, that a kesem was something that's niskan al hasafik. In other words, that gufa is the takan of ksamim. The takan of ksamim isn't just to be misakein that she's a surah with dam bali hargasha. It's to be misakein that dam, that you don't know its source, is a surah.
Why is that? There's two conceptual takanos. That sounds almost like there's
one. Conceptually, there's still two takanos.
We're grouping everything together under one rubric that
one thing, but it requires two conceptual steps. Number one is midiraisa, even when there's no suffix, even when it's vadai from her makor, she's mutaris. So step number one is that we have to say dambli argasha is Asura midrabanan. Step two, if you just stopped there, you would have said that if it was a suffik, we should say suffik drabanan lakula, in which case every kesem about which there's a suffik should be mutaris. Step two is they were misakein that too is asur. Every kesem that's a suffik without a taliya is a sura.
So the first step, that's not a din of ksamim.
Is the din of that stuck on of ksamim.
Where's the source of that? We just have
the Gemara that says when the Gemara that says Shmuel's Moda that is also Midrabanan, right? The Gemara quotes the Drasha Shmuel. It asks a whole bunch of questions, and the Gemara gives two answers. We'll talk about the second answer in a second. First answer is Moda Shmuel that she's Asur Midrabanan. That's Dam Nida Pali Hargasha. That's a Takana. Now, if the stains on the skirt, there'd be nothing to talk about if you didn't have that first step. There's also a second step, which is that even though it's suffix, even though you don't know this is dam mikor b'li argasha, still it's a surah. Another place. Yes?
Why can't the Tosh just assume that the same reason the Kesem just said it's a suffix berua, it's not a suffix at all? I mean, it's advanced, I could have said there's bleatly a clock, there's no clue whatsoever, I can't come up with anything.
He didn't say that, because then he would have to slug up both sfeikos. He only slugged up one suffix. The Kesef Mishnah's question was, there are two sfeikos.
The Taz
says, no, there's only one suffix. But it's still one suffix. Suffix Rabban Lakula must be what we're saying.
He could have said that.
We'll see. Yes. So we'll get there. That's the Chavos Das's answer. But that is the alternative Mahalich in Ksamim. Throughout the Siman, you'll see, they argue 3-4 times throughout the Siman. It comes up many times. Is exactly what you're saying. That there's zero sfeikos. But that's not what the Taz said. It's a very fine answer, but it's not the Taz. The Gemara in Andav Samach Amad Aleph says, Ein tolin kesem bekesem, which makes sense if you assume that a kesem is a suffix, right? If you assume, if the presumption of the kesem was that it came from her, then you should be able to be tol kesem bekesem. Or sorry, it didn't come from her. We'll get there when we talk about Ein tolin kesem bekesem. Another raya. The fact that we're so mekel on ksamim, even al tzad harachok, right? You'll see certain cases, and that might be what Rabbi Akiva was telling them, but certain cases where we are mekel on ksamim, even though the chance that it's, you know, let's take even the way we treat ksamim nowadays, right? So, maybe that's not such a good example. Lemaisa, many of the tlios that we're going to employ are quite far-fetched. And as long as you have a tlia, even though it's far-fetched, we're mekel. Now, that makes a lot of sense Now, why are we more makel than every other? If it's just because of Safik Durabanan Lakula, if you think the idea of a Taliyah, Safik Durabanan Lakula, might have come from here, we're makel, then it's very fair to say that for some very far-fetched Taliyah. But if you think that the whole idea is that there are Misakin Alak Safik, so the Pshat is, they're Misakin, that any time you have a Kesem without a Taliyah, she's a Surah. So if you have a Taliyah, even if it's a far, it doesn't have to rise to a normal, you know, Safik Ashakul in order to be Mutaris. Again, we'll return to that point as we see the Tliyos. Another raya is that a kesem is like a suffik ashakol. The Gemara samach beis amid beis hanach laksamim dirabanan, and the Gemara over there indicates that we're going to apply this even to taras habeged, which lechora is a diraisa shayla, and lechora that's even if you hold like the mandem or makor makom otame. We'll discuss that also in a couple of minutes. And yet we still say hanach laksamim dirabanan, which would make sense only if you assume that a kesem is a suffix. Okay. Now, so if that's true, tiknu ala suffix, so then why was he even bothered by the sveik akasha? Right? Why didn't you, okay, so tiknu ala suffix, so tiknu ala sveik. So the answer presumably is that it didn't make sense to say that their takana of ksamim was stronger than a din d'oraisa. In other words, if b'chia gavna you would be mekel in a din d'oraisa, so it doesn't make sense that there would be misake in a din d'rabanan that's stronger than that. Tiknu ala sveika, right? That's very schwer. Now, in a certain sense, that's what the Kesef Mishnah's first answer is, but the Taz didn't like that, right? To say tiknu ala sveika. So, but to say tiknu ala safek, so that's something that we could understand. Okay, so l'chora, that's the pshat in the Taz. And we'll see that again, Taz Sifkat Yud Zayin. Over there he asks Akasha from Bedikas Chametz. I think we won't get into the details now of that question because it's a little complicated, but his answer is, Avalkan b'ksamim shekol she'ein bo litlos b'shum dabar have a sveika tame, vein lecha heter, rakim yesh b'shum davar litlos, shemistaber shemisham ba'kesem. His lashon is more or less explicitly what we just said to explain what he holds in Sifkat Nalef, right? Tiknu ala safik. Again, his lashon is, shekol she'ein bo litlos b'shum davar, have a sveika tame. Right? That was a takana. The takana was that sveika tame. Now, you could ask, well then why are we makel every time there's a tliyah? That's still a suffix, right? If the takana was to be machmir ala suffix, let's say avra b'shuk shel tabachim. So we're makel. Why are we makel? Still a suffix, right? Just because she was avra b'shuk shel tabachim, that doesn't mean it's vadai from the shuk. Still a suffix, it's mimena. So the answer is, that is the takana. The Lashon again of the Taz actually asked this question in Sifkat Mem Aleph, and he writes, Shezeu ikur gzeres hakesem, shechmiru, shekol she'ein davar litlos bo, mitamina nosa, kevan shegam zos min ha'efshar, shehol chasham. Lama tinatzel mechumras ksamim. Right, and he says a little later on there, ki kein haisa takanus chachamim lohakel in yantliya, the chol mash efter litlos, aval below litlos vaday as linan lechumra, shelo yavol lahakel bedin Torah, which is really borrowing from the lashon of the Gemara. So what's he saying basically? That's the takana. If we want to understand what is the takana ksamim according to the Taz, the answer is they were misakein any time there's a suffix and there's no tliyah. And any time there is a tliyah, then they were mako. And it doesn't really follow percentages. If you have a tliyah, even though it's not the greatest tliyah, we have some other source where we could attribute this blood to, like avar b'shuk shel tabachim. So I could point to that other blood and say, yeah, maybe this blood on her skirt is from that blood over there on the floor, so then she's mutaris. Even if it's not very likely. And if I don't have a taliyah, even though it's a bona fide suffik, then we're machmir. So we don't say, and we'll talk about this a little more later, suffik avar b'shuk shel tabachim. We need an actual taliyah. But once we have the taliyah, she's mutaris. That was the takana. So when we have the taliyah, she's mutaris, even though it's still a suffik. And when we don't have a taliyah, she's a surah, even though it's still a suffik. That's the way the Taz understands the takana of ksamim. And that's part of the machlokas over there with the Taz and the Rama and the Tshuvas HaRama. You probably didn't see this yet. It's the Taz at the very end of the Simen, Sifkat Memal, if he quotes the Tshuvas HaRama and the like. But you'll see when you get there that that debate between the Taz and the Rama is really hinging on this issue and how to understand the Iker Xavier Ksamim. So we won't get into the details of that Taz yet, since you didn't see it, it's hard. But that's the sheet of the Taz. Now, let me just give the alternative, and then I'll take your question. The alternative is actually what Rabbi suggested a couple of minutes ago, and that could be found in the Chavos Das of Kut and Beis. And the Chavos Das basically answers that there's not even one suffik. Right? Remember, the Kesef Mishnah asks, why isn't there Sveik Sveika? Taz answers, there's no Sveik Sveika because one of the Sveikos are bad. There's still a single Sufik, but the Takana was to be Machmir B'Makom Sufik, and we don't apply Sufik to Rabban Makula. The Chavos Das says, no. There's one Takana. What's the Takana? Down below Argasha. And that's it. Why are we Machmir when she finds Dam on her skirt? Because there's no reasonable chance that it came from anywhere besides her makor. Why? Shukshel tabachem lo avra. What are you going to tell me? She slept, walked, you know, in her sleep without noticing. She went to the shukshel tabachem. Give me a break. That's not a reasonable possibility, right? Which is already the lashon of the Gemara. I'll read you part of the Chavos Das. He quotes the Taz. V'kushyaso eno muvad. The suffik me amra eno suffik. Kida amar nida daf gimel. Kevan de b'shuk shel tabachem lo avra. Haidam bade migufa. Remember that Gemara? We saw that earlier. V'gam suffik tzadun eno suffik. Dechezkas damim min amakor. Da dam hanimtza b'prozdor chayavin. Alav al biyaz mikdash. What were the two sveikos of the Kesef Mishnah? Maybe it was me'alma. That's, no. Give me a break. Give me a break. It's not me'alma. Hi. Kevin de b'shuk shel tabachem lo avra. Vadi migufa. What's your second suffik? Maybe it's min aliyah? That's also not a suffik. Dama nimtza b'prozdor chayavin alav b'vias mikdash. Right? There's no sveikos here. There's only one takana. The takana is down below argasha. Once they were misaking, down below argasha. Then naturally, all the halachos of ksamim followed. That's the opinion of the Chavos Das. What about Simon Kuf Pei Zayin, Sifei, that we consider it a suffix? That's different. Maybe we'll get there, but it's that gets into the issue of a sveik sveika keneged rov by Nisid Rabbanan. Okay, so that's the mahalach of the Chavos Das. That mistama, this is from the Makor. There's no suffix tzadim. Right? Well, I mean, that part is basically agreeing to the Taz. There's no suffix that, there's no tzad that it came me'alma. Right? As you see from Daf Gimel. Right? The Gemara in Daf Gimel, if you remember, is within the opinion of Shammai. It says, Modeh Shammai b'ksamim. Right? Shammai isn't metameh l'mafreya. So, why? Because she didn't have argasha. So then the Gemara says, okay, well then Shammai should also be mitar ksamim. And the Gemara says, Modeh Shammai b'ksamim, my time of b'tzipor lo nisaska, b'shuk shel tabachem lo avra, hayda mehecha asi. You could ask Anataz, why are we machmir by suffik avra b'shuk shel tabachem? So maybe we'll talk about that. But the simplest answer is what the Rashba says. The Rashba also asks, why aren't we makel by Safik Avra Shuk Shel Tabachim? And the Rashba himself, that's Rashba Daf Gimel Med Aleph, says, Yafshar l'chal atar alim kain tachzikena b'shochachas d'nis'aska b'shachecha o she'avar v'lav adayta v'kevan shekain afa ta'omer shemer yish b'shachecha o shema yish v'lav adayta v'svar v'shkashas mer glaymi. In other words, the Rashba continues, says that to make her into a avar v'lav adayta is already a very unlikely thing. People don't, I don't know, depends who, but it's not a good suffix to say, oh, she went to the butcher without remembering that she did go to the butcher. Okay. The Chavos Das is just one thing, L'shitaso in Sif Chafhei, Sif Katan Yud Dalet. He's also there talking about the issue that the Taz brought up by Chametz, and he didn't answer like the Taz, that they were Misakin ala Safek. And he gives a different answer. Ayin Sham, we'll get to there when we get there. But he's Lishitaso again. One Rishon that might have a little mashmos is the Or Zeruah. Lashon the Or Zeruah is I think it's in Yemar Koro Sheets, it's Shin Nun Aleph. Hai kshetira aisha vadai shehergisha beriya. Ela shegazru rabbanan al ksamim. Hai nu vadai shemimena yatsa dam. Af al pi shelo hergisha temeya. Avalisafek lo his kikuha. Hilkach hecha de ika lemitli lekula talinan. Right? Saying, why are we makel for tlios? Ta says that's because of the takana. The takana was a misakin without a tlia. But he says because it's a suffik. Right? And when there's no tlia, it's not a suffik. That's why they were machmir. So it sounds very much like the Chavos Das.
Except.
The Or Zeruah.
No.
Why?
Because he said like that the tliya was like very far fetched. No.
No. When you have a tliya, a bona fide tliya, then we're makel, and that could be because of suffik drabanan lahakel. When there's no bona fide tliya, then to assume that it came from her is unreasonable. Sorry, to assume that it came me'alma, even b'tar suffik is unreasonable. So me'mela, she's a surah. Yeah.
I was just going to ask that whether according to the Chavos Das,
according to the Chavos Das, that's what I think. That's certainly what the Or Zeruah implies. And I think that's exactly what he's going to say. In other words, he doesn't have to make that whole, I guess, complex setup that the Taz makes, which is that they were misakein the ofen suffik when there's no tliya, but not when there is a tliya. He understands the kshuto. There's one takana, down below hargasha, and everything else falls into place naturally. The rest is simin kuftzadi. Yeah.
The Shulchan Aruch later on in Kuftzadi says, since Ksam Adurabanan, therefore we make Tlios. Isn't that Mashim also that way? That the whole intention of Tlios is because.
Yeah. Again, I don't think the Taz that will be a Pircha for him, because it's still true what the Taz says. In other words, we're willing to accept even far-fetched Tlios because it's only Adurabanan in the first place, and therefore they weren't Misakin B'makom Sheish Tlia. Right? So you could. I guess it's a little more elegant if you read like the Chavos Das, but I don't think it'll be a problem for the Taz. Okay, now there's a parenthetical point that comes up in this Taz, which is a very important point, but not our simon, but I'm going to note it now because it's important to note, which is the Taz writes in this Taz, in Lahakshos Mimasha Kasav HaRama Sveik Sveika B'simen Kuf Pezai in Sif Hei Dehasam Yeshmaka the after shim and atstad the alzekai has fake sveka, right? So what's the Taz referring to over here? The Rama says over there like this: the chen im ein la vesis kavua v'hu safek im adam b'men amakor omen atstadim talinan b'maka mikol fake sveka safek min atstadim omen amakor v'imtim tzalomar min amakor shema hu min amaka. So the Dalgal Mirvava over here says that this Taz makes no sense, right? Over there, the Maka is in the Makor of the Lomanat Stadim, right? What's the Ramas Fake Sveka? Safek if it's Mina Makor, Safek Minat Stadim. Vimtim Tzloma it's Mina Makor, maybe it's from the Maka in the Makor, right? So what do you see? You see that we are Tola Shema Minat Stadim even without a Maka, right, which totally refutes the Taz. The Taz said, there's a makkah. You're right, there's a makkah, but where's the makkah over there? In the makor. So what's he talking about? Very difficult. Sounds like the Taz holds that maybe there's two makkahs, or at least there's a suffik makkah shebitzdadim. Now there's a makkah bitzdadim and a makkah b'makor, or at least a suffik makkah bitzdadim, or the like. Right? Otherwise this Taz doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we'll return to this Taz when we... Sorry? This first Taz. Kuf Tzadi, Sifkat and Aleph. I'm just noting he makes a very questionable statement, which we'll return to when we talk about Makos, but since we're doing this Taz, I just thought to be merit, and we'll return to this question. Yeah.
Maybe he puzzles like the Rambam and the Rashi, but maybe Rabbi Mitzah or the Rambam. But
yes.
That if it's Boman and Makor, we assume that it was Mahar Gasha.
Correct.
So this entire discussion falls to the wayside.
That's exactly what we said.
Is it right that nobody puzzles like the Rambam and the Rashi?
That's what we said. That's the Pashtas.
So I know the Balei Shulchan puzzles like the Rambam. So
it doesn't necessarily make all these distinctions. It depends on what issue.
This is the right that the Chavis Das, the Taz, the Kishon, none of them are puzzling like the...
I think that we generally... that's correct. We accept Rov Rishonim.
What's the raya? What's the raya? The only raya is our discussion. There's no raya internally with that.
No, that's what we said. The whole discussion within a Taz, but within our Taz. Yeah.
Who's having this discussion other than us in the room?
That's what we said. That was your point right at the beginning. That our whole question.
Meaning, the question wouldn't even get off the ground. It's
correct.
Well,
the Taz's question.
Yeah.
Right. The Taz might hold.
Remember, the Kesef Mishnah was the one who starts this question in the Rambam.
Right. Which is very. I guess not. Meaning,
no.
Speaker should be mutter, but.
Yeah, that's what we pointed out. Within the Rambam himself, this question isn't necessarily a question, because once we know it's a Makor, it's a Suah Midiraisa, because it's Beches Kasu Sheba Bar Gasha. Okay. So we have just a couple minutes left, but we'll start with a very basic question, which is why were they misaking Samim? So Rashi writes, at least Bedas Reb Yirmiya, Dil Ma'argisha V'lava Daita. Now what I assume that means is that she felt something, but she didn't commit it to memory. Like in the case of Milsa de la Ramya Le De Inshi Lava Daita. Meaning to say, you don't pay attention to it. Now, it could also mean she forgot. The question is, does it mean lava daita, she never even noticed it at all? Is it possible to have hargasha that you don't notice? Or is that by definition not a hargasha? In other words, sometimes lava daita might mean you didn't notice it. Is it possible to have hargasha of a lava daita that's not a hargasha? So that sort of goes back to the question of how do you define hargasha? If you define hargasha as a physiological type of thing, then you could say that. But if we assume hargasha means, by definition, her awareness, so you can't have it, in which case you'd say, well, no, it means she didn't commit it to memory, she forgot, or the like. Okay, so that's what Rashi says, Dilma hargasha v'lava daita. Now, what would Rashi say if there's no chshash of hargasha v'lava daita? Would Rashi say here she's Tahora, even Midrabanan? Right? That's the view of Tosfos. Meaning to say, that's the way Tosfos understood Rashi. Right? Tosfos understood Rashi, and that's why he asks on Rashi, as Rashi would say that if we know she had no Hargasha, then she would be Mutaris. And Tosfos disagrees. It's not clear that's the only way to read Rashi. It could be Rashi agrees that there was a low plug. They made a takana on Oksam in Dilma Argisha V'lava Daita. And even if this is in this particular case, that concern doesn't exist, still, they were Misaki and Bitar's low plug, in which case Rashi and Tosis aren't really disagreeing. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel reads Rashi that way. And then there wouldn't be a machlokas. But as I said, Tosfos himself reads Rashi as not learning that way. It's only when there's a concern of argasha v'lava daita that there would be an iser of ksamim, iser drabanan of ksamim. You see a similar thing in the Rambam, Perek Tes Halacha Beis. We've discussed this Rambam before. Tuma umedivrei sofrim shakol aro adam al besaro al begadeha af al pishel or gish af al pishel badka va'atzma v'loy matzadam harez etmer ki'ilu matzadam lefnim besara v'tumazu besafek shama kesem zemidam acheder ba. L'chora, what he means to say is that if it's menacheder, it's b'chez kaso sheba b'argashin zis temeya. Except mid'oraisa, you don't have to be choshesh, right? Because l'maisa lo hirgisha. And mid'rabbanan choshashu dil ma'argisha v'lavadaita. Right? Because, remember, if it came from the Makor, then mistama there was a hargash according to the Rambam. And we have a suffix that it come from the Makor here. So the pshat is that, so why is it mid'oraisa mid'rabbanan? The answer is, mid'oraisa, you don't have to be choshesh argisha v'lavadaita. And in the Rabbanon, basically, we are Choshesh Argishav Alavadaita. Oh. So that's all within the first answer of the Gemara, right? That's where Rashi said this. Rashi said this in Reb Yirmiyah. The question is, what about within the view of Ravashi? And presumably we accept the answer of Ravashi, that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Nechemiah, that Davashen Makabal Tuma is not Makabal Ksamim. And, well, what then did Rav Ashi held about this question? In other words, did Rav Ashi also agree that Ksamim is a din d'rabbanan? Right, just to recall. The Gemara quotes a drasha Shmuel that Achatargish Bifsara asks a whole bunch of questions. The Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one, Shmuel's modim d'rabbanan. Answer number two, like Rabbi Nechemiah. Well, what does answer number two have to say about answer number one? Is it building off of answer number one? Yes, Ksamim are d'rabbanan. Moreover, you don't even have to say that she's a surma d'rabbanan by Badka Karka Olam, but even mid'rabbanan she's muteres because Rabbi Nechemiah. So is answer number two building off of answer number one, or it's a whole separate answer? So this brings us to Rashi over here. It's a very hard Rashi. But before we get to Rashi, I guess, according to a number of Rishonim, like Tosfos and the Rashba, Rav Ashi agrees to Reb Yirmiyah that Ksamim are d'rabbanan. He just has this additional point that mid'rabbanan, they weren't even misake, and if it's in a makabal tuma. And therefore, Badka Karka Olam is actually even going to be mutaris, not just mid'raisa, but even mid'rabbanan. Rashi doesn't sound like he's saying that. Rashi sounds like the reason of Shmuel by Badka Karka Olam is not because of lack of Hargasha, but rather it's because Rabbi Nechemiah. Now the question is, how do you read Rashi? Let's look at his Lashon. Rav Ashi Amar, time it is Shmuel, de Amar Li'el, Badka Karka Olam v'chulei, lav mishum Hargasha. Right? That's what Rashi says. Now first of all, what does that mean? Because the strange thing is that Shmuel actually mentioned Hargasha. What do you mean lav mishum Hargasha? Didn't Shmuel say this drasha about Hargasha? So one possibility is that's Medivrei HaGemar, it's not Medivrei Shmuel. That was the Gemara's initial understanding, interpretation, that wasn't part of what Shmuel said. Okay, maybe. So let's read on in Rashi. Elok Rebbe Nechemiah Savar Lai. De Amar, lo hizkir chachamim gzeiras kesem, el adavar hamakabal tama. Gzeiras kesem implies that ksamim are gzeira. Well, why are they gzeira? Isn't that because of lack of Hargasha? But he just said it has nothing to do with Hargasha. So very unclear. Continuing. Hilkach, kol hanach tiyuvta lav kushyan inhu de Shmuel lo ari b'Hargasha klal. Again, the same thing. Lo ari b'Hargasha klal. In other words, it sounds like there's some other reason why she is not asura midiraisa, not having to do with Hargasha. Right? Because lo ayri b'hargasha klal. But if that's true, why does he have to say gzeiras kesem? Right? In other words, what does Rashi gain by saying this? If, since in the end of the day, he seems to be agreeing that ksamim are d'rabbanan, v'araya uses this lashon of gzeiras kesem. So why doesn't he just say like Tosfos, that it's a gzeira because there's no hargasha? Right? Why is he, what are we going to say? That there's some imaginary halacha that we don't know? Some reason why this is only d'rabbanan, not hargasha, some other reason? and they were only misakin gzeres ksamim b'makom shemakabal tama. Well, what's the reason why it's not midereisa? Also, Rashi throughout, like for example, in Samach Beis Amud Beis, Tiba Masril Amar, is made. He brings the drasha of Adshater Bivsara. Right? In other words, is the reason for Ksamim being only Asur of Derabana, not Midraisa. So it does sound like we hold of that reason. We do hold of that drasha. So, not so clear. Not so clear. It's not so clear if Rashi disagrees with Tosos. The Sidrei Tara has a Mahalach in Rashi, where he thinks Rashi totally disagrees with Tosfos, and Lamaskana Gemara and Aliba de Hilchasa, according to Rashi, doesn't hold that the drasha of Hargasha and Hargasha is irrelevant, right? Lamaskana Sa Gemara, Hargashos are not important. That's the way the Sidrei Tara reads Rashi. Like Rashi keeps on saying, Lav Hargasha Mairi. But again, to say that, then you have to figure out why this is only Gzeirah. It's a very difficult read of Rashi. He does a lot of somersaults to be Miyashiv Shitas Rashi. I think the Pashtus in Rashi is that he agrees to Tosfos, and that this the second answer of the Gemara, Ravashi agrees to the first answer of the Gemara that she is to the drasha of Ach Targish Bivsara that you need Hargasha to be Asur Midaraisa. What Rashi is emphasizing is that the reason for the Hatter has nothing to do with Hargasha, because then she would be Asur Midrabanan. The reason for the Hatter is because, in other words, Hatter, like Mutter, even Midrabanan. The reason for the Hatter is because it's Davashena Makabal Tama, and therefore she's Mutaris. So you'll see throughout the Sidrei Tara and Ar Siman, he's going to keep on going back to this Rashi and his pshat in Rashi, which he really likes. But it's a difficult pshat. I think the pashtus in Rashi is that he really does agree to Tosos. And Rashi, even though he keeps on saying Lav Bargasha Mari, that's because he's trying to explain why she's Mutaris even Midrabanan. But he agrees that it's only a Gzeira, and that's because of the Drasha Shmuel. What else?
Maybe you mentioned this before, but the Sidrei Tara's Mahalach, the explain well where we keep his need for a separate drasha.
That is, in fact, the Sidrei Tara's Mahalach, yes. That is exactly the Sidrei Tara's Mahalach. Yeah, exactly. So, the Sidrei Tara, one mile of the Sidrei Tara's Pshat, explains the drasha of Rabbi Akiva. Because we don't, in the end of the day, accept the drasha of Ad Shetargish B'Vsara. But Rashi quotes that in several other places in the Masechta. So it's very difficult. Okay. So, I guess we'll have to stop here. What we'll begin with next time is the Machlokas Rishonim about Reb Yirmiya and why are we makel on Davrshin and Makabel Tuma. So read Tosos very carefully, as well as the Rashba, the Chidushi Aran, you have that in your Makor sheets. See if you think Tosos is saying the same thing as they are. There's a bunch of big Machlokas Achronim, how to understand the Pshat and Taisvis. Is Tosfos going only in the Manda Armer Makor Makomo Tame, or even a Manda Amar Makor Makomo Tower? This is most well known as a machlokas between the Noda Behuda and Rebbe Kiv Eger, which is also near Makor Sheets. There's also Chsam Sofer, Nun Chesmed Aleph over here, which I don't think I included near Makor Sheets, but the Chsam Sofer is quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, who has a different way to read Tosfos. So there are a number of different taiches in Tosfos as to how to read what Tosus means, which is actually going to be very important in many aspects. So that's what we'll begin with. And then we're going to work on Sif Aleph, especially the massive Chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen. So if you didn't read the Trumas Hadeshen inside, read it very carefully inside. See if you can figure out what he's talking about. And, of course, we already saw the discussion in the Darkei Moshe on this Trumas Hadeshen earlier, Kuf Pei Gimel. You might want to revisit that point as well, and think about how we would answer the Darkei Moshe's kashas on the Trumas Hadeshen. And also an important question is, does anyone actually disagree with the Trumas Hadeshen or not? Are there Rishonim that disagree? So that's what we'll be talking about next time, as well as going on. I don't know how far we'll get, but we'll go through. We'll go on. Okay.